Why a Head Covering Doesn't Cover the Face by David Phillips. You may view slash download a PDF version of this article here. Periodically, the head covering movement comes across men or women who believe that face covering is included in the practice of head covering. Why is this? They usually believe that the practice of face covering is supported by scripture or by historic Christian practices or by their own theological concepts or by certain writings outside of the Bible. They are sometimes even referring to full face coverage provided by styles like the burqa slash burqa. And yes, they identify as Christian and are not promoting Islam. Of course, it's true that some women have covered their faces in certain cultures, in specific situations, at various points in history, and for a variety of reasons. This includes women among several religions, some ladies in the Old Testament, and even some sisters in Christ, often many centuries ago. Obviously, face veiling is not the normal practice within most of Christianity today, including among those who practice head covering. However, there's something more important than simply identifying which practices are normal among Christians of various locations and periods of time. Instead, we look to the authority of God's Word to identify His direction for Christians of all times and locations. So let's do that now. 1. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 4, the Apostle Paul explains that a Christian man should not pray or prophesy with something on his head, or with his head covered. In this verse, Paul is using the Greek phrase kata kephale echo. It means having something down over the head. This wording is fairly vague. Indeed, the Greek phrase doesn't specify what this something on the man's head actually is, and it doesn't specify how far down over the head it would hang. Some have argued that Paul uses this phrase to prohibit men from wearing long hair, which matches up with his later instructions in the same chapter, or that he is prohibiting men from wearing cloth head coverings. We can gain a little insight from the Old Testament. The same phrase is used in the Greek translation of Esther 6, verse 12, which tells us that Haman hurried home mourning with his head covered. While the Greek translation of the Old Testament was not inspired by God, and therefore isn't infallible, Esther 6 verse 12 does provide some precedent for this phrase being used to refer to a man using something to cover his head. The context suggests that the covering was used to conceal Haman's identity, so it was likely a cloth rather than his hair. Similarly, many of the cloth head coverings worn by Christian women hang down over the head. Now, could a head covering be large enough to completely cover a man's face? That would depend on the purpose, size, and shape of the covering. Plutarch, writing in the same time period as Paul, uses a similar phrase to describe Scipio the Younger covering both his head and his face. Plutarch's wording, however, is somewhat different from the phrase that Paul uses. Further, Plutarch actually specifies that the face was covered, while Paul does not. Moreover, Scipio used a rather large garment, a toga, to cover both his head and face. While Paul has an open-ended restriction against male head coverings, even if they don't cover the face. Also, observe Scipio's specific situation. He used his toga to temporarily hide his face from people while walking around in a new city, which is a completely different act than what Paul is describing. As the similarities break down between Paul's head covering and Scipio's face covering, note that even when Scipio's fellow Romans used a toga in the style of Capite Velato with covered head, their faces were still uncovered. In summary, we can observe that Paul's use of kata kephale echo makes no reference to covering the face. Indeed, the entire verse and chapter does not mention the face at all. Those who argue for face veiling cannot prove their position from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 4. Instead, the one thing we know from this verse is that the man should not have something covering his head while he's praying. Not a toga, nor a hoodie, nor a hat. 2. In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 5 to 7 and 13, Paul teaches the practice of head covering by using the verb katakalupto. This word means to conceal or cover over. The Greek word katakalupto is a compound word kata means down or over, and kalupto means to cover or to conceal. This word by itself does not refer to covering the face or even covering the head. In other words, The definition of catecalupto doesn't specify what is being covered, nor what something is being covered with. Here are two examples of this word being used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Jeremiah 51, verse 42 uses this word to predict that Babylon will be covered with waves. Ezekiel 32, verse 7 uses this word to explain that God will cover the heavens. The Greek translation of Isaiah 6, verse 2 is another passage that uses catecalupto. In contrast to 1 Corinthians 11, however, this verse in Isaiah does specify that faces were covered. In further contrast with 1 Corinthians 11, the faces in Isaiah weren't human faces, and they weren't covered with a cloth. Again, whenever catecalupto is used, the context will specify what is being covered. This dependency on context is seen in the use of other covering-related words as well. Fortunately, finding the context is easy enough. 1 Corinthians 11 repeatedly lets us know that the head is being covered or uncovered. Specifically, Paul makes no mention of covering the face. And we've already seen that face covering is likewise not included in the word's definition. Because the definition of catecalupto is cover over or conceal, Paul probably had in mind a head covering that is more extensive than just a wide headband. But could covering the head also include covering the ears, the face, the eyes, the neck? Or does catecalupto just refer to a cloth that conceals the top of the head and then flows down over the back of the head? It would probably help to step back a bit and recognize that the word head obviously can include the ears, the face, and the eyes, as in Matthew 14, verse 11, which mentions John the Baptist's head on a platter. The word head can also be referenced separately from the face. In Matthew 6, verse 17, the head is anointed, but the face is washed. Similarly, putting burning coals on his head, Romans 12, verse 20, obviously means that the coals would be placed on top of the head, similar to a typical head covering, and not over the face. And when crowns are described as sitting on the head, Revelation 19, verse 12, then we know that they are not covering the face, also similar to a typical head covering. This difference between head and face is referenced by Tertullian, an early church leader who lived less than a century after Paul. In chapter 17 of his work entitled On the Veiling of Virgins, he explained a noticeable difference between Christian women and a certain group of pagan women. The Christian women covered their heads, while the pagan women covered not only the head, but also the face. Back then, a Christian's head covering generally did not cover the face. 3. Other forms of catecalupto were used to refer to a head covering as distinct from a face veil. The Shepherd of Hermas is an early Christian piece of literature, probably written within 50 years of the book of Revelation. While this fictional work was not inspired by God, we can see how certain Greek words were used during that time period. In Vision 4 of the Shepherd, the following statement is found in chapter 2, verse 1. Behold, there meeteth me a virgin arrayed, as if she were going forth from a bridal chamber, all in white and with white sandals, veiled up to her forehead, and her head covering consisted of a turban. In the phrase, veiled up to her forehead, the word veiled comes from our same word, catecalupto. Why is catecalumene spelled so differently from catecalupto? The changes indicate grammatical information about the word. The specific spelling of catecalumene indicates that the word is a participle, verbal adjective used in the perfect tense, similar to the past tense but refers to a completed action with ongoing results in the present, using the middle or passive voice in the nominative case, singular and feminine. As we learned earlier, catecalupto can be applied to almost anything that's covered. If it is used here to refer to a veil that covers the woman's face up to the forehead, then we see that her face veil is limited to her face. It is explicitly not the same garment as her head covering. Again, head coverings are typically not face covering. Further, consider that another translation of veiled up to her forehead is actually covered down as far as her forehead. The word veiled simply translates catecalupto, which means concealed or covered over slash down. Combined as a phrase, we have covered down as far as her forehead. That wording doesn't sound very much like a face veil. Instead, it would describe a head covering. What kind of head covering could that be? The very next phrase explains, her head covering consisted of a turban or hood. Interestingly, the word head covering here is actually just a noun derived from catecalupto, Yes, this word shows up again. This consistency in wording further identifies the head covering as the garment that goes down to the forehead. In essence, the author is saying that the head covering does not cover the face. This aligns with the fact that there is no reference to her face in this passage from the shepherd. We may wonder about the exact style of this lady's turban or hood. The word is translated from a Greek word that means mitre, turban, snood, headband, or headdress. But whether the woman was wearing a turban or hood isn't our main concern. The point here is that these pieces of clothing were clearly items that were placed on top of the head without covering the face. In essence, this passage describes a lady covered down to her forehead, and her covering was a hood. Instead of the shepherd providing support for face covering, we see, again, that katakalupto was used to refer to a head covering that does not veil the face. 4. Paul describes a covering that is worn above the head, not over the face. As mentioned earlier, 1 Corinthians 11 doesn't mention the face at all, much less the face being covered. But we also have additional clues about the location of the covering described by Paul. According to 1 Corinthians 11 verse 10, a woman should wear a covering on her head to show she is under authority, NLT. The NASB and NKJV likewise use this phrase, on her head. Young's literal translation translates the phrase as upon her head, and the NIV says over her head. All these English translations reflect the fact that the Greek word is commonly translated upon or above. This wording seems to focus on the location of the covering vertically, above the head, rather than around the face. 5. Does the cloth head covering wrap around her head, or does it cover over her head from above? In 1 Corinthians 11 verse 15, the Apostle Paul teaches that a woman's long hair is given to her for a covering. This covering made of hair comes from the Greek word peribolion. It is a completely different word than Paul uses when describing the covering made from cloth. The word peribolion was often used to refer to objects that were thrown around or wrapped around somebody or something. Paul says that a woman's long hair was given to her by God for the purpose of wrapping around her head. Similarly, a face veil would have wrapped around her head. But Paul did not use this wrapped around term when describing the cloth head covering. Instead, he described a head covering that covers over the head from above. 6. 1 Corinthians 11 verses 5-6 says, there's a connection between uncovering her head and shaving off her hair. Verse 5 describes the similar disgrace of two situations. 1. A woman shaving her head, and 2. A woman praying or prophesying without a head covering. The situation continues in verse 6, in which a woman's hair would get cut short or shorn. In other words, a head that's bare, it has no cloth covering, then becomes even more bare, it has no hair covering. In both verses, notice that all the action happens on the top of the head, rather than around the face. In fact, the logic of this passage breaks down if the cloth covering were to wrap around her face. Uncovered women don't have facial hair that could be cut short or shorn, and they don't typically wear hairstyles that cover their faces. Therefore, Paul's connection between uncovered and shorn exists only if the covering is on top of her head. 7. Some people may use 1 Timothy 2 verse 9 to argue for face covering. In the King James Version of the Bible, this verse is rendered, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. For those who promote face covering, the theory here is that an uncovered face is immodest. Face veiling would then support the concept of shamefacedness. Interestingly, apart from the KJV, it is actually rare to see any of the older English Bibles use the word shamefacedness in this verse. Those published before and after the KJV normally use shamefastness instead. Further, the definition of the archaic word shamefacedness actually referred to having a humble expression, not a shamed face, nor covered face. Though the term would seem to be a compound word with shame and face, the Greek word behind shamefacedness makes no reference to the face. This becomes more evident when considering the large number of Bible translations that translate the word as modesty. Similarly, when the same Greek word appears in the Old Testament, Proverbs 15 verse 33 and Proverbs 22 verse 4, it often is translated as humility. Ultimately, the word face shows up in 1 Timothy 2 verse 9 only due to a unique word choice by the translators of the King James Version. Conclusions. Paul could have specified that Christian women were to cover their faces, but he simply didn't. Why not? Because the principle of the passage is headship, and so the symbol relates to the head, not the face. This position is supported by the amount of artwork from the early church and beyond showing the uncovered faces of Christian women. For those who believe that face covering was a standard part of Corinthian culture, it should be remembered that any need to cover the head, much less the face, was not found in that society. And as Paul corrected women who prayed without a covering, he likewise corrected men who prayed with a covering. Yet the likelihood of Corinthian men praying with veiled faces is even smaller. True, covering the face is not forbidden in Scripture. In other words, for any women in Christian history who covered their faces, they were not sinning by doing so. But neither is face veiling encouraged by Scripture, much less commanded. Indeed, 2 Corinthians 3 tells us that we are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face. Instead, we all, with unveiled faces, are reflecting the glory of the Lord and are being transformed. May that be true of you and I,